Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our listeners, the views of our callers. But right now, of course, we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Jim Mars. Now, later on, if you want to call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now, we have with us Jim Mars, who's written Rule by Secrecy, who's written, a number of books, Crossfire. Jim, thank you so much for being with us again. Jim, are you there? Jim Mars, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Monteith. Good to be with you.
All right, fine. Well, it's good to have you with us again. And how is everything going?
It's just going. We just got pelted with more vicious thunderstorms down here. They kind of missed my place here in Wise County, but they hammered Fort Worth and Dallas.
All right. Now, for the listener who doesn't know who Jim Mars is, he wrote a book called Crossfire. And, of course, that sold, what, about 1 million copies?
Oh, yeah.
And then you wrote the Rule by Secrecy, and almost 500,000 copies went of that?
Yep.
Why don't you tell our listeners about the next book you wrote, going into the background of September 11th and really giving the facts of what really happened. And what happened to that book?
Well, on September the 12th, 2001, the day after 9/11, I posted a piece on my website on the Internet that said this was really terrible, and that I agreed 100% with President Bush when he said that we should leave no stone unturned in finding who did that and prosecuting them. But I also urged caution. I said, because we don't know who did that, you know? And the bald-faced fact is, to this very day, we don't know who did that. In 1963, just about an hour and a half after the Kennedy assassination, they had a guy in custody, Lee Harvey Oswald. They said he did it. And then after about a year, an official government panel rubber stamped that decision, says, yeah, he did it. And to this day, there's still a significant number of people who believe he did it. But today, the polls show the vast majority of people today no longer believe that Lee Harvey Oswald did it, or at least he certainly didn't act alone. And so I simply urged caution. I said, let's find out who really did this, because I said there's some serious questions. Well, within about another month, I'd done my research, I got on the Internet, I looked at everything that was flowing around, and I came out and wrote a big piece and posted it on my website called The War on Terrorism, Fact or Fiction, and pointed out a lot of the questions about 9/11, pointed out what they were doing to the Constitution as a result of the activities of 9/11. And then I went to my literary agent and I said, this is a good piece. It's been well received. I'm getting lots of good comment on it. I said, this should be the basis for a book. Well, she went around all the big publishing houses in New York, and nobody wanted to touch it because, after all, this was just a month or two after 9/11, and nobody wanted to act like they were unpatriotic and called into question the official version of events.
All right. Well, I'm going to just ask you to hold that thought for a moment. We're
okay.
Going to have to take a break here as we begin to bring on the other stations that are listening to our program. So our guest today is Jim Mars, and we're going to be talking about his latest book that has not been published. So we'll be back here in just a moment or two. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Jim Marrs. And Jim Marrs is a writer. He wrote, of course, Crossfire, sold 1 million books. It was the story of the Kennedy assassination and who really was involved, and it certainly wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, because there were just too many unanswered questions there, too many people who had witnessed some aspect of that assassination ended up very dead. In other words, these were just people who witnessed some casual aspect of that. And in fact, a friend of mine and Jim's named Craig Roberts had written a book called The Dead Witnesses. I think there were 109 people who knew something about the assassination who died not too long after the assassination under very mysterious circumstances. The book, The Dead Witnesses, we still carry that here at Radio Liberty. And then Jim Marrs wrote a book entitled Rule by Secrecy, and one of my favorite books, and really a write-on on almost everything, one or two things we might disagree with, but really a very, very important book. That if you haven't read, we still do carry because we think it's an important contribution to understanding that very little of what we learn today through the media is really true. And of course, but then we were beginning to talk about a book that Jim had written starting right after the 9/11 attack, and he had written a couple of pieces up on the internet, and he began to question what really happened. Everybody saw on television what happened that day, but were we being told the whole truth? And of course, he had been telling us that he went to his literary agent. Of course, after all, when you've had a book that sold 1 million copies, that makes you a pretty well-known author. But nobody in New York seemed to want to get the book. Do you want to pick up the story from there?
Right. And so it kind of languished there for a few months. And then by mid-2002, all of a sudden, all of this stuff had begun to trickle out in the mainstream media about FBI agents who were claiming they had been thwarted from investigating the terrorist organizations, and how that both CIA and FBI had all this advance word of what was going to happen, and yet nothing was done up at the top. And all of a sudden, there were even the major media was beginning to raise some legitimate questions about what was going on. So all of a sudden, there was new interest. So HarperCollins, major publisher there in New York, they said, let's take a look at your War on Freedom book. So I sent it in. They read it. They said, this is hot. This is great. We want to publish this. So by June, I had a contract. And I worked like the devil over the next few months. And by the end of September of last year, I had completed a manuscript, and I rushed it in.
We're going to interrupt you right there, Jim. We'll be right back, bringing our last station right at this very moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Jim Marrs, and he's telling us that he's written a book called The War on Freedom, and of course HarperCollins had looked at this and said, gee, this is a great book, we want to publish this for you, and didn't they give you an advance payment on the book, and they were really all ready to go in and get this book published? Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Okay, so I had a contract with HarperCollins. Put all this information together. By then, more and more had come out. There is so much that I can't even begin to go into it all. Even the official engineering team that investigated the World Trade Center for the Federal Emergency Management Administration, rather than any law enforcement or investigatory body, they were raising Cain, saying they weren't able to get to the information and that they were hauling away all the steel and everything before they had a chance to even look at it.
Gee, sounds just like the Oklahoma City bombing, where they wouldn't even let the defense even see any of the evidence there.
It's the Oklahoma City bombing, it's Waco, it's the Kennedy assassination, all of this all over again. Hide away the evidence so nobody can figure out what really went on.
Okay.
All right, so I had all that put together. They accepted it. I said, quick, how fast can we get this out? Because already they were talking about going to war with Iraq. And I knew that there was no reason to go to war with Iraq. Okay?
I mean, you probably suspected what the American people were being told wasn't true. There really weren't any weapons of mass destruction.
No, of course not.
I mean, actually, for our listeners out there, the government knew they'd been moved into Syria.
And they have lied and connived about the whole thing.
Okay.
When Colin Powell went to the United Nations and presented this huge presentation about how they had weapons of mass destruction, it was based on some information he'd gotten from Britain that had been plagiarized from a California graduate student's paper.
But that was 10 years old.
Yeah. And same deal when they cited the International Atomic Energy Agency, a report saying that he was 6 months away from building a nuclear bomb. Well, the Atomic Energy Association said, no, we never issued such a report. In fact, the only report we did issue said that as a result of the Gulf War, we don't think Saddam Hussein even had the capability of building anything nuclear.
But, of course, the American people never heard that.
Of course, we never hear that. So I'm thinking, as a journalist, this is information people need to hear.
So you've got the book all written. You've given
it
proper...
So it's all written. It's all there. I said, how quick can you get this out? And this was like about last October, November, they said, well, we're going to hope to have it out by September of this year. You know, the time frame is just incredible. You can't get information out in a timely manner. So I've gritted my teeth and went with that. Well, they went through the whole process. They proofread it. They even went through the legal review. I was on the telephone with a corporate lawyer for 2 weeks saying, proving how this work came from, this where the information came from. Here's how I can prove this. Here's how I know that. And I passed that. He said, okay, you satisfied me. So in other words, there was no legal argument with any of the facts in my book. And they even sent me the cover. That's how far it was. They were ready to go. They were trying to push the publication date up till maybe July or June even. And the next thing I know, the very next day after they were so excited about it all, they called my agent and said that one of the vice presidents had canceled the book.
In other words, did you have a feeling maybe somebody had put pressure on because they really don't want the American
Absolutely.
People to have the truth?
There's no question in my mind. This vice president had not even read the book.
In other words,
had not even read it.
But that must have been pretty expensive because they'd given you a significant advance, hadn't they?
And they paid me the rest of the advance.
Isn't that nice of them?
Nice of them, see, but doesn't that prove to you that there was no problem with the book, it was simply a problem of censorship. Here, take the money and go away.
I know, well, but this sort of thing goes on in America all the time.
All the time. In fact, most people who have good, valid information don't even get that far.
Right. Well, anyway, of course, you've got a pretty good reputation, very well known, but
right.
I've heard the same sort of story over and over again.
Well, then it gets worse. Dr. Monteith, after this, my agent said, well, no problem. That's such a wonderful book, and it's so well substantiated. We'll just go, and he figured we can get another contract here real quick. But he goes to the other major publishers, and the same thing happened time and time again. The editors who would actually read the book go, holy cow, this is hot. We got to publish this. And then somewhere up in the corporate administration, they go, no. And that's the end of that. It is total control over the information that we see and hear. And as you well know, since I've been on your program so many times, Doctor, that this is the thing I've been preaching all this time, that the media is under total control and we're only getting half-truths and lots of omissions in what we're learning about.
Well, if you can't find anybody else, I know somebody will publish it for you. I'll give you that number. You know, the bigger thing is that you want to get it up in the bookstores. That's the important thing.
People need to get to this information. If they had this information, I think we'd be making decisions other than the decisions we're making. We're being stampeded and hurt it along like a herd of sheep.
Yeah, but of course, now we are in World War III. There's no turning back. If we pull back now, of course, the world, the Arab world, will look at that as a sign of weakness. And if we stay there, we'll inflame the whole world against us.
That's right.
And of course, what you do has consequences. And
you know what we need to do? I'll tell you what we need to do, but of course, there's not a ghost of a chance it's going to happen considering the people in Washington today. We need to take all of our troops, men, women of the U.S. military that we are supporting with our tax money and who are there for one single purpose, and that is to defend the continental United States. And we need to bring them back from these 44 countries that they're in all over the world. And we need to pull out of all those places and come back to our place, defend our borders, and announce to the world, we are sorry that we sent troops in and bombed your country and killed your people, and we're going to stick to ourselves, and you all stick to yourselves.
And I think that would be the only wise thing. You know, we can't guard our southern border. We're not even trying.
Southern border's a joke.
But we can, of course, guard the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan. We can have 50 or 60,000 troops in Europe guarding them against, well, I don't know what we're guarding them against, because now the Russians are our friends, and
right.
Of course we can have all those troops over in Japan, and I don't know what we're guarding them against.
Oh,
because
Kosovo,
the Chinese,
Bosnia, Central America, we still got people in Panama, you know, you name it. We got them everywhere except here where they're supposed to be guarded.
But people do not understand the agenda, really, is that we are going to have a world empire. This is what these people want. And, of course, whenever you undertake such an endeavor, you end up like Rome did, and you eventually are destroyed.
That's right.
And the purpose of our military is to guard America and not to push the imperialist programs of successive administrations, whether they be Democrat or Republican. Well, let's talk a little bit about...
Well, wait, it's more than an imperialist program. It appears imperialist, but when you consider the forces and the people, the controllers behind George W. Bush and behind Putin and behind Tony Blair, what you find is they're using the taxpayer-supported U.S. military to enforce a new world order, or in their own words, globalization, which is one world government, one world military, one world communications, one world banking system, okay? Now, the thing is, maybe that's desirable, okay? Maybe, I mean, we are one planet, right? And we are one human population, so maybe it only stands to reason that we'd have some kind of a governmental system that would speak for all of us and would speak for this planet. My problem is that the people who are pushing us into this are not giving us a chance to vote on it or even think about it. For example, the U.S. Congress has already on several occasions changed, altered, or abolished or added new U.S. corporate tax laws. And they've done this not because anybody asked them to and not because anybody over here thought it was a good idea. They've done it because they were ordered to do so by an appellate court of the World Trade Organization. Well, when have we ever had a chance to vote on the World Trade Organization? It makes a mockery of our national sovereignty.
And even more than that, what really bothers me, Jim, is the fact that because we're involved in the war against terrorism, if we were involved in the war and terrorism, they would seal our borders and they'd stop bringing people in from terrorist countries.
Amen. One thing they could do is no one from outside the United States ought to be able to get a student visa to come over here and be a student unless they're under age 22. You know, they're letting 35, 40-year-old people in here, you know, on student visas.
But, of course, the thing is that because of this threat of terrorism, now we've got to watch every American citizen. We've got to tap their telephone. You know, we've got to have the computers going over their emails. We've got to have a record of every purchase you make. We've got to have a record of your bank account. We've got to have a record of your health records. We've got to have in fact, they're even going to start putting things into the clothing you buy, and everything you buy that can be used for tracking purposes.
That's true.
And, of course, they're compiling computer files with your facial image on there so that, of course, they will have facial images on everybody in the country. And all of these things, you know, are in the name of fighting the wicked terrorists.
That's right.
But, of course, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you found. Now, for our listeners out there, Jim Myers is going to be a speaker at the Conspiracy Conference that is going to be held on May 24th and 25th over in Santa Clara. If you're in the Monterey Bay area, I think you'll want to go. I'm going to be speaking, but they're going to have a lot of great speakers there. I'm really anxious to go and hear Jim, and he's going to have a workshop, and there's going to be an opportunity to ask people. There's going to be a dinner. And, of course, we're going to have open questions, and I think it'll be an exciting time. If you want to know more about this, why, their telephone number is 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or you can go to their website. It's called ConspiracyCon.com. conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. And, of course, you can get information about going 2 days. It's going to be an exciting time. And you're not going to agree with everybody there, but you're going to hear a lot of different views. Of course, I hope if you go, you'll agree with Jim and I on what this is really all about. So one reason I agreed to go was I heard Jim Mars was speaking, and I always wanted to meet him. So that's why I'm going, and I hope that's why you'll be there as well. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break now for 4 minutes, and when, of course, we get back, why, we'll invite your calls, and I'll ask Nathan, who's calling, just to hang on. We'll be here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Another of our fascinating 4-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently why the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and that I want to mention, I believe we're really moving into very difficult times. Now, you may not want to think about it, but just in case I'm right, what would you do as far as there suddenly was a cutoff in the normal water supply? How would you get water? How would you survive? Well, one of the things that you can do, of course, is to get a water filter, and these will allow you to take stream or river or pond water or any sort of water and run it through it and come out with potable water at the other end. This is what missionaries have used for years. The Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel, and of course it will hold about 2.5 gallons of water. It runs through ceramic filters, comes out the bottom, and it actually will filter out the bacteria and, of course, most of the minerals there. This is a great product. They ordinarily sell for $270. We offer them for $239 plus $10 shipping. But if you buy it through us, we give you a video or 4 tapes that we produced. And they're available in every state except for California and Iowa. But if you live in California, there's something called a Berkey Light. And the Berkey Light is plastic, not stainless steel, but it's very, very durable, has just about the same amount of about 2.5 gallons of water you put in, runs on through there. The filters are more efficient than the Big Berkey, but they also have to be replaced at the end of every couple of years. But they will take out MTBE and all sorts of things. If you'd like to know more about the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, why, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Of course, the Berkey Light sells for $199 plus shipping. And once again, we offer you the 4-tape set or the video if you buy it through us. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light or information on them. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now we've got, of course, with us on the line is Jim Mars, and let's go to Nathan calling from Contra Costa County. Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Well, first of all, quick note. I heard that Professor Kaczynski's cabin is being destroyed.
Ted Kaczynski.
Sure, with that is a whole lot of evidence about the true story that we probably don't know. Particularly, what was he doing in the MK Ultra experiments?
You're talking about Ted Kaczynski, the mad bomber,
yeah.
The fellow who was reading Al Gore's book.
supposedly did all of those.
Right. Things. Okay. Fine. And of course, he actually had been in some sort of an MK Ultra program, I think, when he was at Harvard. Anyway, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I just, Mr. Marcer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy a lot of your book, Rule by Secrecy. I thought.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely fascinating, but you know, I also think there's a perspective that I have on all these things.
All right.
Where
you have a question for Jim.
Yes. Do you believe that the answer to all this lies in upholding the universal principles of monotheism? I mean, do you believe that that is the answer that America needs to go back to, or you know,
almost
be satisfied with some other answer? Or
No. I think you pretty well articulated it right there. We need to go back to what was the moral and traditional foundations of this country, which was honesty, openness, citizen servants. For example, one of the reasons that that Congress has lost just about all claim to any kind of respect is the fact that the way it was set up is you're supposed to find somebody locally who is respected as being an honest man and maybe a good solid business head, maybe operates a very good business and people think a lot of him, and you're supposed to send him to Washington for maybe a couple of years, maybe four, and then he's supposed to come home, and then you send somebody else up there. And instead, we're getting these professional politicians who get up there and their whole commitment is to get reelected, and as a result, to get reelected, you have to have television time, which takes tremendous quantities of money, which means they have to go and get money from all the special interest groups. And this is where the public has lost control over this country.
Okay, anything else, Nathan?
Well, just watch Mr. Smith goes to Washington for the old, the old-fashioned values.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll come back.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to Bart calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Fine, sir. Thank you very much. What an honor it is to be able to have an opportunity to ask Mr. Mars a question. And I do have a question, but first, please allow me to say to all the listeners out there, Jim's book, Rule by Secrecy, it really is one of these books that you really must have. It's worth its weight in gold. It's a solid, packed information storehouse. I use mine as a reference regularly, and the information in Jim's book will enable you to have a coherent, informed conversation with people who may not be too well informed about what's going on in our country.
Well, that's available from Radio Liberty at 1-800-5. HIV war. Let me get a plug in. Go ahead, Bart.
And my question, Jim, is this. As with the JFK assassination, the researchers and the people who are concerned about our well-being of our country, it seems like the goal here with this 9-1-1 event, which is the biggest con job hoax ever perpetrated on the American public, the goal would seem to me to be able to reach a critical mass of information. In other words, the amount of it, the force behind the information offered by researchers such as you and Stan and many others, the force of that information to become greater than the force holding the information back from the public. My question, sir, is do you think that is possible?
Do I think it's possible that this information will come public?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I do. Unfortunately, the way things are stacked right now, and you brought up the Kennedy assassination, same thing. It's taken us 40 years for the bulk of the public to figure out that we were conned by the Warren Commission and that there was something else going on other than just the lone nut, Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, the way the control over the media today, if we don't find ways to break that control and if people don't take it upon themselves to go out and seek alternative information, it'll be another 40 years before we finally figured out what really happened at on September the 11th. And by the way, yeah, that was one of the biggest ones, but it's not the only one. The people who have made serious studies of Pearl Harbor now are pretty unanimous. It's just pretty much accepted now among people who've actually looked at it that Franklin Roosevelt, George Marshall, a handful of others, top Washington officials, knew Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked, and they allowed it to happen to further their own political ends, which was to galvanize the American public and get us all into World War II.
Right.
You can argue whether that was warranted or unwarranted, but that's the facts.
I appreciated the information that you had about Pearl Harbor in your book, Rule by Secrecy. In this case, it seems to me that that's why I brought up the concept of critical mass.
Bart, yes. We're going to have to got to go to a break here.
Okay.
If you want to hang on, you can. Or...
I'll pass it off to the next caller.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bart.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, In Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention several other things. We actually, of course, subsidize what we get from our regular supporters by selling products. I never thought I'd be selling soap, but Radio Liberty carries Miracle-2 soap products. Now, I will tell you that we can make no medical claims for them other than tell you it's excellent soap, and lots of our people who use it tell us, gee, it does wonderful things for this, that, or the other thing, but the FDA hasn't cleared that. All we can do is tell you many people use these products, and if they have rashes or other things, and sometimes they will really help them. There is a soap, a moisturizing soap that you rub under your skin and leave it on, and it makes your skin soft, and you have a neutralizer substance. There's a very alkaline solution. Some people take it for their heartburn, and of course there's a gel, and there's a lotion, and all five products are available as a special offer by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's Miracle-2 soap products. And then, of course, we carry a Phenopoly, and it's a program, it's a game, basically played like Monopoly. In fact, it's five board games and two bonus games, and if you have your children or even adults will play this, they will begin to learn to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, to pronounce words phonetically. Designed by Myrna Culbraith, who came up with the phonics game, Phonopoly is an excellent approach to teaching children phonics. And if they can't read and they don't know how to do it properly, why it's going to be against them the rest of their life. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, is $139.95 plus shipping. We throw in a couple of books. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Phonopoly. And we've had people 50, 60 play this game, and of course, they've learned a lot. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest today is Jim Mars. And Jim is going to be speaking at the conspiracy conference over in Santa Clara at the Marriott Hotel, and that's going to be on Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be a two-day seminar. It should be a fascinating, fascinating time. Hope a lot of people are going to be there, and I hope people will begin to understand what we are really up against, because, of course, this is the problem. Most people don't understand the very nature of this battle that created all the wars of the last year. Jim was talking about, or Bart was talking about Pearl Harbor. The same thing, of course, with Vietnam. 58,000 American boys died in Vietnam because of the Gulf of Tonkin incident that didn't occur. And
wow.
That Admiral Stockdale had wrote a book called In Love and War, telling about flying over the Gulf of Tonkin on the day the attack didn't occur. And of course, but we have to convince the American people of that, because how could we ever let them understand that we never went to Vietnam to fight communism, we never went to Vietnam to bring freedom to the people, we went to Vietnam to change America, and we sure did a good job. Well, Jim, let's talk about some of the things that you found out about what really happened on 9/11. So what are the things that the American people don't know about what happened that day, and the wicked Osama bin Laden who coordinated this whole thing?
Well, let's start with the Customs Building, or World Trade Center Building number 11. This housed a lot of government agencies, including the Immigration Service and Customs and a bunch of things. Had about 800 employees in it, and they all were quickly evacuated. Okay? And yet, CNN footage shows smoke arising from this building before the towers collapsed. What caused that? What set that on fire? Was there an explosion in there, or what? And in fact, afterwards, there is photographs showing a huge crater in the ground where this building was. Now, falling debris piles up. It doesn't create a crater. So what caused this crater? No one has answered that. And the 26-member engineering team hired by FEMA to investigate the World Trade Center were never allowed to examine Building 11 or the steel or even the site. And they were told, oh, well, it was just destroyed when the buildings fell on it.
But was it destroyed when the buildings fell on it, or was it already something going on before the buildings fell?
Well, the evidence shows there was something else going on. And then in my book that's been suppressed, I cite expert after expert, including some of the fire officials in New York, who said there were bombs placed in those buildings. There was a New Mexico bomb explosive expert with the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, who said that at the viewing that collapse of those buildings, they had all the earmarks of a controlled implosion, a demolition. And you have firemen saying there's bombs in the building. You also have a tape that was made by the New York Port Authority of the fire channels as that was happening, and it showed two fire captains made it to within two floors of where the planes hit. They were reporting some fires, and they were calling for some backup, and very calm, cool, and collected. And it seems apparent that these experienced fire officials thought that this was something that they could bring under control. And then, of course, moments later, the whole building collapsed. It just doesn't make any sense. Of course, they've got complicated scientific, and you can hire experts to tell you anything you want to hear. Just like in the Kennedy assassination, they can tell you how a bullet probably hit a twig and was probably misdirected, and that's why it went through two guys and caused all these wounds. You can go through this complicated stuff, but common sense plus a study of the evidence shows that there's something happened to those buildings other than just an airplane.
How about building number 7? That was the one where the CIA was, and it wasn't hit by anything either, and yet it ended up collapsing. It collapsed from the bottom. That never quite made sense.
I know it. None of that has made sense, and the problem is there's never been an honest investigation.
And, of course, the government won't allow an honest investigation.
Dick Cheney and George Bush worked very hard to see that there was no investigation. They told Congress, don't investigate it. And they pled with everybody, don't investigate it.
Well,
we need to concentrate on the war on terror, they said. Well, excuse me, I think we need to concentrate on what really happened and determine who was really behind it.
And, of course, the most amazing thing, that there was so much advanced knowledge of that attack. And we know that the mayor of San Francisco was warned the day before, and the Defense Department officials canceled their flights for the 11th of September.
Well, I have a huge section, Dr. Monteith, called Foreknowledge of 9/11. And you can't believe, everybody was trying to warn us what was going to happen, including the Taliban. The Taliban in Afghanistan. A Taliban official tried to warn Washington that Osama bin Laden was going to launch an attack. All of this information was flowing up through the FBI, through the CIA. It was coming from the Russians. It was coming from the Taliban. It was coming from the Philippines. It was even coming from the Chinese. And yet, at the very top of our power structure, not only was nothing done but there was actually steps taken to block any investigation into what was coming up.
And the most amazing thing, that there were no planes in the air that morning, and yet they would have automatically gone up whenever a plane was hijacked, but somebody had to give orders not to send those planes. You would think that the greatest superpower in the world would have at least one plane that they could use to guard our nation's capital.
Well, do you remember the incident where the golfer Payne Stewart and some other passengers, and they were in a Learjet, and something malfunctioned in their oxygen equipment, and they either passed out or they asphyxiated, and their plane flew off course. It was only within about 20 minutes that there were military jets all over that plane, wagging the wings, shooting, you know, across the bow, trying to get their attention, coming up close to seeing what was going on. And they tracked that plane all the way with the intention that if it was going to lose gasoline and crash in a populated area, they were going to shoot it down. But it didn't. It lost power over in kind of a open place, and it crashed, okay? The point being, when the minute Payne Stewart's plane went off course, within 20 minutes there were interceptors all over it. It was 45 minutes after four planes went off course before any fighters were scrambled. This is unconscionable, and it goes totally contrary, Dr. Monteith, to everything that you and I don't know, we're pretty close in age. You remember back during the days of the Cold War, and we were told that not one Russian bomber could come across the North Pole without all these fighters being immediately scrambled and being all over them, you know? We're told that the North American Air Defense Command is just right on top of everything. And yet, for almost an hour, they allowed these hijacked planes off course to continue on their deadly mission.
Well, I think
and nobody's been reprimanded, and nobody's ever really looked into any of that and studied it closely.
And, of course, the president congratulated George Tenet for a job well done. In fact, I don't know if you know the book, it's called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a senior CIA official in Iraq in 1995. And he says that he was told, or at least a friend of his in the media was told by one of the highest ranking CIA officials, that when the dust finally settles after September 11th, the American people will find this was not a failure of their intelligence agencies, it was a triumph of our intelligence agencies. How could the death of 3,000 Americans be a triumph unless, of course, it was going to introduce us into World War III?
Well, let me put it this way, Dr. Stan. What if you and I were the board of directors of a large corporation and we had a very highly paid, probably the highest paid security chief in the world, and yet that security chief lost some of our most precious assets, were destroyed? Okay, what do we do with that intelligence chief? Do we fire him and get somebody else who can do the job well, or do we promote him and give him double his budget? Well, in this case, we double their budget. Not only was there no recriminations, no inspections, no investigation, no reprimands of why there was such a systematic failure of our security systems, but we double their budget. What are we going to do now, get twice as much failure?
Well, I mean, logic would tell you that something isn't right. I don't know if you know Christian Breitwiser's testimony on the 18th of September last year, but her husband, Ron Breitwiser, died in the South Tower because they were told to stay there. He wanted to leave, but of course they kept telling him, you've got to stay at your place, don't leave. And they're looking out the window, seeing people jumping out of the window of the North Tower. But, of course, she pointed out that, according to the New York Times, within 2 hours of this attack, we had no idea it was coming, absolutely none. The FBI was visiting the restaurants where the hijackers ate, was actually going to the schools where they trained.
That's right, getting their flight training records.
Right.
How did they know? And number one, how did they know where those schools, what schools they'd been to? Because number two, how did they even know who they were? We've had 19 of those hijackers identified. 15 of them are Saudis. They're not Iraqis, and they're not Afghans, okay? 15 of them are Saudis, and none of those names that we've been given show up on the passenger manifest that's been made public by the airlines. How did they know who they were?
Well, actually, they found a couple of their passports. One drifted down from the World Trade Center. Yeah. The other drifted down from the plane in Pennsylvania. I figured they rolled down the window and threw them out before the crash. Let's go to Fritz.
They must have, because the black boxes that are designed to withstand aircrafts, those didn't survive, but the paper passport did.
And we actually
I mean, they must think we're absolute idiots out here, and I don't know.
Well, maybe
God help us. I guess maybe we are.
Well, at least there's a few people speaking out. We've got Fritz calling from Maine. Hi, Fritz. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, sort of. There's a principle in philosophy that you know the causes from the effects. So I went back and I rethought this. What were they trying to cause? If they're trying to cause a maximum amount of damage, they wouldn't have done it in the sequence that they did it. What they did, instead of attacking buildings, they attacked different American institutions. First, the financial institution, of course, in the World Trade Center. Then they attacked the military. Then they attacked the media with the anthrax. And last of all, they attacked that institution, which was capable of making laws which would start a war against the Arab world. Now, whoever carried out this plan in that sequence, they had as a primary objective starting a war, ensuring that a war would be started against the Arab world.
And, of course, all you need to do is read the report. It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses on the Project for the New American Century's website.
And you think that's been their plan all along?
That all has. Okay, look, thanks, Fritz. Your point is well made. God bless you. And have you gone into the Project for the New American Century? Do you know that organization?
Oh, that's all in my book.
All right. That really is.
Paul Wolfowitz, Pearl, and Cheney, and all the rest of them. Even back before Clinton took office, their game plan was to extend American hegemony all over the whole Middle East.
Now, for the listener out there who finds that difficult to believe,
well,
Don Rumsfeld,
it's their paper. It's not my theory. That's what they wrote. They said this is what we need to do. They even used the term Pax Americana, which is, of course, a takeoff on the old Pax Romana, which was the Roman Empire. And what they envisioned was an American empire.
And for the listener out there who's skeptical and said, this couldn't be true, you go to their website, newamericancentury.org, and read what they say. And you'll be amazed to hear it. In fact, but you need to get this. You need to get the documentation and show it to others. It's a lot of this is in my syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. Hopefully, one of these days we'll get Tex's book and get a chance to read it, the manuscript, and we can begin to get this information out. But ladies and gentlemen, this is up to you. You have to help us get the information out. And don't attack the president. Maybe he doesn't even know what's going on. But attack the people around him. Attack Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Jeb Bush and Paul Wolfowitz and John Bolton, all members of this Project for the New American Century. Go to their website, read their information, because your future, your family, your freedom at stake today. Well, Jim, as you keep, I'm sure that you must have a tremendous amount of information there in your section on foreknowledge. When you tell people this, what sort of response do you get?
Well, you just get blank stares, because it flies in the face of what they are bombarded with daily through the corporate-owned media.
Yeah, they don't understand that the media is controlled, that our reality is controlled.
It's highly controlled. I spoke at the Nexus Conference in Amsterdam back in the first of last month and visited in Amsterdam, and this was right at the time that the war was well underway, and it was truly amazing to see how the Europeans, the reporting on that war from the European standpoint versus the reporting here. And basically, it was like this. Over there, they concentrated on the people involved, the civilians and the soldiers. The BBC, for example, and Skyview Network, they were really upset about all the Brits that were killed by friendly fire from the Americans, okay? And we hardly heard anything about that. And then they were showing all this, the losses to the civilians and how the loss of their homes and put a human face on that war. And when I come back and watch the media over here, particularly CNN and Fox, All I see is a parade of generals and ex-generals and administration spokesmen and defense industry people and think tank people who are just talking about how smart our bombs are and how far our missiles can go and what our strategies are going to be, you know. And it's not the same reporting at all.
You mean the CNN, the Cheney News Network, it's a...
Yeah, and then you get somebody like Peter Arnett who is a veteran war correspondent, somebody who really knows what he's talking about, and all he does is try to tell us the truth of what's happening over there, and he's fired, along with Geraldo Rivera.
All right, well, I think that people have to understand, if you are in the media and you tell the truth, why you're going to lose your job. That is the reality of what's going on today.
That's very true. Or you get your book canceled.
Oh, well, of course, one nice thing, doing what I do, nobody can fire me because I work for myself. I work for the people out there. And some of our supporters have actually withdrawn support because we wouldn't go along with this war because we didn't believe there were any weapons of mass destruction there. But,
well, they still haven't found any.
Well, all we can do is say that we know where the weapons of mass destruction are. They were moved to Syria. We've had this verified, in fact. Judith Miller, works for the New York Times, found out a week ago, this last Monday, that their weapons had gone to Syria. Articles in the Wall Street Journal just yesterday or today, they found the weapons were in Syria. So we're going to have to go after Syria next.
That's right. Well, and then they'll move them probably Jordan or some other Arab country, you know, Uzbekistan. So we'll have to go invade there too. Since when did America, who I have always looked up to and was proud of my country as being the shining beacon of freedom and democracy, since when do we go around invading other countries under some kind of a vague preemptive strike philosophy, which is they may do something to us at some time in the future, so we're going to go and attack them right now?
That's a dangerous precedent because,
of
course...
Oh, my God, think what would happen if every country in the world took that philosophy.
Or if maybe China and Russia took that view towards us with
exactly.
Their nuclear arsenal. We're out of time, Jim. God bless you. I'm looking forward to being with you over at the Conspiracy Conference.
I am, too. We'll see you at the Conspiracy Con.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Jim Mars. I hope you enjoyed the program, and, well, we'll be back here in just a moment with more Radio Liberty.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1 and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that if you would like to learn about perhaps what you could do to have a good supply of food or the other things you need, large water containers, the things you would need to survive if the unthinkable should happen to America, and believe me, at that point, why no amount of money would help you, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-1. Ask for a ready reserve food catalog. We'll send it to you. And, of course, if you find the things there that you think you'd like to have, why, you get it back to us, and we'll see you get the various products. And they have all sorts of food. In fact, they're the wholesaler for lots of other companies, but they have all sorts of things, a great catalog. So give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Ready Reserve food catalog. And then let me suggest, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it to understand the spiritual component of what's going on today. And even better still, the book is $12.95, but you can get the book, the video and the audio tape for $29.95. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness special, and we recommend it to you. We have all sorts of other specials. Of course, you can get the assassination special, the concentration camp special, the pagan agenda special. You can even get a video special with any five of the videos we've made. All of those specials are $69.95, and we pay the postage with them. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Talk to the girls over there about the specials, lots of things bundled together. One important book you need to get is Regicide. It is the true story of what happened to President Kennedy, written based upon the CIA records of Mr. Crowley, who was responsible for planning and carrying out the murder of an American president. You need to understand why. You need to understand who all of his contacts in the media are. Media are, because you see him every day. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I was just telling people about the book Regicide. And if you haven't read the book Regicide, you need to get it. It's written by Mr. Gregory Douglas, based upon the papers of Robert Crowley, who was Deputy Director of Clandestine Operations for the Central Intelligence Agency. And it explains why the CIA killed President Kennedy, how they killed President Kennedy, goes into the background of the relationship with the cover-up by the FBI, which worked or allowed the CIA to carry out the murder and then covered for them. And, of course, who knew about it? People like Lyndon Johnson. It's all there, written based upon Mr. Crowley's papers, which he bequeathed to Gregory Douglas after he died. It's the smoking gun, and the reason you're not hearing about it is because they don't want you to hear the book again. Is Regicide. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we hope that many of you out there will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we try to expand our coverage out across America. We've got an opportunity to get our evening program on shortwave, but quite frankly, we need additional funding, and many of you are already contributing, and we appreciate that. But those of you who are not, or those who would like to be able to increase your level of funding, call us at 1-800-544-8927 and make a pledge for 6 months, so we know we'll have the funding to help us we can go ahead and put our evening program on shortwave. And the advantage of being on shortwave is then other stations begin pulling us down off a satellite, and the afternoon program now is heard on five or six other stations outside of our regular Radio Liberty network. And so this is how we're expanding and reaching more people all across America with a truth that they're not going to get elsewhere. So if you believe there's a problem and would like to be part of the solution, give us a call and join the Radio Liberty family. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping to finance what we do as we reach out 5 hours every day on stations across America. Now we're up to about 55 outlets across the country. Not as large as I'd liked it to be, but certainly it's a voice bringing the truth that you're not going to get elsewhere. So again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a copy of my March newsletter, which goes into the project for the new American century and how back in 1997, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Jeb Bush and Paul Wolfowitz and John Bolton and 20 other people put together the project for the new American century and laid out a plan to take us into these wars. Because what's happening is very obvious. In fact, finally, the ABC Nightline has released the video interview between Ted Koppel and William Crystal, where he tells about how we're going after North Korea and how we're going after Iran and Saudi Arabia. We're going to either destabilize them or take them out. It's all there. That March 5th Nightline video, it is available, at least I was told today. After 6 weeks, it suddenly made it available. I couldn't help but wonder if they made it available, because I kept talking about how that video was being suppressed by Nightline. But after 6 weeks, they finally said, oh yes, we can sell that to you. So again, the video, Nightline, March 5th, and you need to get that to really understand it. Did you need to get my March newsletter? I'll send that to you for nothing. And again, of course, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then pray for America. pray for revival in this country, because if we don't turn back to God, God's going to turn his back on America. Pray for our boys overseas, and pray for the Christian leaders, and the good leaders will have the courage to speak up and understand we're in World War III, and eventually our cities may look like Baghdad does today. Finally, pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Randy Thomas.